Welcome to this special sermon series entitled Profiles in Courage. Each week in this series, we will look at the great men and women from the Scriptures to find inspiration and insight that will help us to live a courageous biblical life. Have your Bible ready, and let's begin.
Good morning. So Chet's always talking about how fun it is at Elyria, how awesome it is at Elyria. So I said, I want to come to Elyria. So I get to hang out with our awesome friends here today, and our buddy Chet is preaching in Old Brooklyn. So thanks for having me. I'm incredibly excited to be here. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what a wonderful, mighty, and good God that you are. I thank you for this awesome morning that you've given us today, Father, just to draw nearer to you. I pray that you would do a good work in our hearts, Father, that we might hear your truth and your good word, and we would be inspired and encouraged to go out into this world and do your good work and be champions for you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the first adventures that my husband Paul and I went on together was a hot air balloon ride. And it was something that he surprised me with, so I didn't have a whole lot of idea of what to expect when we got there to go on this hot air balloon. And when you show up, you meet in a parking lot. There's a team there that kind of like takes you over to the hot air balloon site. They get you launched up in the air. And then they have another team that follows you around in a van. They call them the chase crew. And basically their job is to kind of just follow where you're going and kind of guess where you're going to land, because you're really at the direction of the wind. So where the wind blows you is where you go. You don't have a lot of control or say in that. So they're trying to kind of guess where you're going to end up landing and where you're going to be. So it was my husband, Paul, and I, and another couple and the pilot who go up in this balloon. And the other couple was such a fun. They were there to sightsee. They had their binoculars on. I mean, they had the whole package, and we were the obnoxious couple spinning over the side to see how far it would go, because we wanted to see if we could see it land or not. I mean, you have to if you're up that high, right? So what was interesting about it is it totally changes your perspective. We went up about, it was like 1,200 to 3,000 feet, somewhere in there, and you get to see the world in a whole new way. Instead of looking up at things like we're used to doing, we got to look down at them. So instead of seeing the bottoms of the trees, we got to see the tops of trees. And instead of seeing, you know, the inside view of buildings that we have, we get to see the downward looking down on them, and things just look very cool when you look down at them. And it was this very beautiful, uninterrupted view. There was no windows. There was nothing that was kind of in our way. And it was amazing, because we got to really just appreciate this world differently. We got to see it from a different angle that we'd never seen before. And what happens is it's so used to kind of, you see things over and over and over again, and you kind of get used to looking at them, and they're not quite so special anymore, right? Like the same road that you've always driven becomes the same road that you have to drive one more time, and the same building that you go to work in, and the same house, and things, the specialness of it all kind of starts to wear off until you just change your perspective and you get to look at it from just a different angle. And sometimes in life, just the smallest shift in perspective helps us view our life and our world very, very differently. So after we were up in the balloon for about an hour, it was time to land. And landing is a very unique experience because, again, it's not like you have a landing zone, like you know exactly where you're going. It's where the wind has shifted you, which for us happened to be a fast food restaurant parking lot. It was very fancy when we got there. And he didn't actually say we were going to crash land, but he said it was going to be a bumpy landing, and we were coming in a lot faster than we were supposed to be. And we didn't know enough to be afraid when we were going up in the hot air balloon, because it was new and different and exciting. But coming down felt very different when he's telling us to, like, you know, don't lock your knees because you could break a bone and bend, and make sure you hold on to the side. And all of a sudden we're questioning how qualified this pilot is who's been flying us around all of this time. But we landed and it was great, and we hopped out and hugged and high-fived and toasted our champagne, and life was good. But it's interesting because life is really made up of these moments of faith and fear, these moments where it feels so exciting and encouraging and wonderful and terrifying and like you could die any second, and moments that show us how great this world is, moments that give us a glimpse into how different things might possibly be when we just see them differently, if we just have that courage to change our view. If we just have that courage to shift and look at things a little bit different. there was a man named Caleb who lived a long, long time ago, and he had this very interesting moment in his life where he had to choose faith or fear. He was part of the Israelite people, and this was a nation that God had called and chosen to follow him. And this nation of people, God kind of set aside, and he worked with them, and he promised that he'd be their God, and they would be his people, and he'd take care of them, and he showed up and freed them from slavery, and he brought them out to this new place he was going to take them, this new land that he wanted to give them. And they had to do some traveling to get there. They had these wilderness years to get to where they were going, and God was with them the entire time. And he brought them right up to the edge of this new land that he was going to give them. He brought them right to like the crossing point and said, okay, this is this place that I'm going to give you. And this is what he says in Numbers chapter 13. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a chief among them. So there's 12 tribes in Israel, and Moses tasks one guy from each one of these tribes to represent their community to go check out this wonderful new land that God's going to give them. So from the tribe of Judah, Caleb is the guy that's chosen. And so these 12 guys get together, and Moses is like, all right, let me get you pumped up. Here's what you're going to do. He says, go up into the Negev, into the hill country, see what this land is, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are trees in it or not, be of good courage and bring back some fruit, because we want to scope it out and see what it's like. I always find this really interesting. If you just look really quick between what God says to Moses, it's very simple. Get these guys, go into the land, and see that I'm going to give you. And then Moses' direction to the people is like, okay, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. It's a lot heavier. God said, just go. I'm giving you this land. And Moses said, okay, do this, do this, do this. Sometimes God just says go, and we make it way more complicated than it has to be, right? Like we add all these directions and these details and these things to do when God just said go. So Caleb and these guys, they get together, they take their directions, and they start traveling to kind of scope out this land of where they're going to be. It takes them about 40 days to get there, get back, see everything that there is to see. They bring back some fruit, and they finally come back to Moses. And this is what they said in verse 27. We came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. So they get there, and we said, okay, the land is good. It's got incredible resources. We're going to be able to eat well. There's good stuff for us to glean from the land. But, however, there's this huge problem because there's an enemy living there, and the enemy's kind of strong. They're big. Descendants of Anak were like giants. They're like huge, huge guys, and the cities are fortified, and I don't think they want us to come in and take this land, so not sure what we're going to do here. And they looked at this enemy, and they saw the strong cities and the strong people, and they were afraid. They took one look at how fortified and strong and tough these people were, and they felt terrified. But Caleb, he looked at this exact same thing that these other guys looked at, and he saw something different. In verse 30, he says, he tried to quiet, and he said, let's go up at once and occupy it. We're well able to overcome it. He's like, we've got this. Like, God said go, we went, it's good, let's do this. Like, we've got this, we can accomplish this. But the problem is, 10 of these 12 guys said no. Only Caleb and Joshua said, this is possible, we can do it. 10 guys said, no way, it's scary, it's terrifying, we can't go. And fear is very, very contagious. Fear has a way of catching on and spreading very, very quickly. And so what the people heard from these spies wasn't Caleb and Joshua saying, we've got this, we can do it. They heard fear. They heard these guys saying, it's too hard, it's too scary, they're too big, the city is too fortified, we can't make this happen. And the people became so terrified by these things that they heard, they actually said, let's go back to being slaves in Egypt. Like, I would prefer the brutality, the horror of slavery right now over what next looks like. I wish that slavery was enough. They said, I wish we would have just died. Why didn't God just let us die back there in Egypt or let us die out here in the wilderness? I rather would have died than do this next thing that's before us. But what's so hard about this is these exact people who were wishing for slavery and death were the very ones that had got to go on this incredible journey with God. They saw God show up and free them from slavery. God beat an impossible, very strong enemy when he rescued them. God did incredible miracles, the likes of which the world's really not seen, when he freed his people. God was with them at night, and he led them by day, and he fed them, and he gave them water, and he was with them. And they got into this moment, and they forgot what God could do. They were so scared of this dangerous enemy, they forgot that God had promised to be with them the rest of the way. They forgot that God was the one who said, go. Just go and see how good it is. And they got caught up in all of the things they saw that was impossible. But Joshua and Caleb didn't forget. Joshua and Caleb didn't stop seeing what God could do. And this is what they said in Numbers 14. Look at verse 7. The land which we pass through to spy it out, it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear from the people of the land. They're bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. The 10 guys were like, okay, the land is good. It's wonderful. It's great. It's got all these good resources, but there's dangerous, scary guys. Caleb and Joshua are like, okay, the land is exceedingly good. It's wonderful, but don't rebel against God. God's got this. And I love the analogy he uses because, look, he says, they're like bread to us, right? A baby can crumble a piece of bread. A toddler can overcome a piece of bread. It's not that big of a deal. And that's how Caleb is looking at these enemies. If God's with us, they're so not even strong enough to fight back. It'd be like breaking up a piece of bread. That's how hard this is going to be. So he does this like awesome rallying cry, and he gets this encouraging speech out, and you think the people would be like, all right, you're right, we forgot for a second, like, duh, God is good, he's strong, what was I thinking? No, they're like, let's just kill Joshua and Caleb, like, make them stop talking, and let's go back to being slaves, let's go back, and if we die, we die, it would be better than this. And God said no, this isn't how it's going to be. And into this jumbled mess, God stepped in and said, no, I gave you this incredible opportunity to go forward with me. I gave you this incredible chance to see an awesome, powerful work of what I was going to do. But this is not how it's going to be. And the saddest part about it all is this entire group of people, this entire generation who'd seen all these incredible things with God, they didn't get to take that next step with him. And none of them got to go into this land that God had promised them. None of them got to move beyond the wilderness into this wonderful, great land that God had set aside for them, except for Joshua and Caleb. God said, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. And so all of these people step right back into the wilderness. An entire generation of people stood right at the edge of what God was going to do. I mean, their toe was literally on the line of what was going to happen next, right on the edge of what God was going to do. But they were so afraid of the danger that they could not take any more steps forward. Their fear was so loud that they could not go any further with God, and they stepped back. And what's interesting about this is they had a choice. God's people had a choice. In this moment, right here, in this place, they got to decide what they could do next. God had it all set up for them. God had it all laid out before them, and they got to choose what they were going to do. On one hand, they had God. God, who they'd seen do these mighty and incredible things, and God who had promised, like, I'm walking this walk with you. you're not going to be alone. Like, we've got this. I'm in this. We're going to do this together. God, who had already proven how trustworthy and faithful he was, God, who had already done these incredible things, was on one side. And on the other side, they had an enemy who was scary, who was tough, who had these strong cities, and they were dangerous. And they got to choose between these two sides, the God they believed in, who they'd seen do incredible things, or the dangerous enemy that stood before them. And they chose their fear over their faith. Their fear was stronger than their faith, and they said, it's too scary, we can't. And they stepped right back into the wilderness. But not Caleb. Because what did God say? My servant Caleb has a different spirit. Something about Caleb's spirit said no. Even though he saw the same things that these other guys saw, he didn't forget what a mighty God could do. He didn't forget that God was with them. He knew God. And he knew that God was with his people, and God was going to do something incredible, and that even in the hardest and scariest and most challenging times, the love of God is able to overwhelm even the most scariest of things. That even in the most dangerous of moments, the power of God is bigger and stronger and mightier than any fear that we might face. And he tried so hard to convince the people, like, God's got this. We can do this. Let's go. Let's move forward with God. We can win this fight. But they couldn't hear him. And he said, look how awesome this place is going to be. Remember, God said go, and we went, and look how great and wonderful it's going to be, and all these foods, these great things that we're going to have. And they wouldn't hear because their fear was so strong that they stopped seeing God. And because they chose this fear over their faith, they missed out on this incredible moment of what God was going to do. This incredible opportunity that God invited them into, they missed it. An entire generation of people missed it. And this is the worst thing about fear. It robs us of what could be. It shows up and it flaunts its scariness and says, everything that you thought bad was going to happen is going to happen. Every dangerous thing that you were afraid of, you should be afraid of it. Somebody's going to get hurt. Something bad is going to happen. And fear overwhelms our hearts with all of these dire predictions and worst case scenarios. And it robs us of these incredible moments of joy and opportunity of faith and seeing what God could do. And here's what's so important that we can't ever miss. God didn't fail his people. His people stopped seeing God. God didn't quit. But the people quit before God was finished. They stopped before God was done, and they didn't get to see the incredibleness of what could come next. Their faith only led them to the edge, but they couldn't take that next step forward. And if we aren't careful, the very same thing happens to us. Because the world can be a scary place. And there are dangerous things that are happening. And there is evil that's in the world. And if we aren't careful, we see these scary things. We turn the news on and we're overwhelmed with all of the bad and all of the scary and all of the hard. And we say, I can't. Like, I'll die, or something bad will happen, or somebody I love is going to get hurt. And we take steps back, and we take steps inward and say, it's too hard, it's too much, we can't do it. And if we aren't careful, the things that we look at overwhelm our hearts and pull us right out of the place that God was going to do his best work in us through. I love what Erin McManus said. He said, we can become so afraid of death that we never live. So afraid of failure that we never risk. So afraid of pain that we never discover how strong we really are. Said, I wonder how many victories are lost before the battle's even begun. Said, I wonder how much more good God desires to usher into the world that's been thwarted by our own lack of ambition. Said, I wonder how many times in my own life I thought I failed, but actually the only thing that happened was I quit. And what he's saying is,
we stop before God is finished. And we settle for so much less than what God had created us for. God has this entire wonderful promised opportunity just waiting to be accomplished, just waiting to happen if we'd only take that one step further with him. If we'd only say, it is scary, but God's bigger than my fear. It is dangerous, but so is God, and God is dangerous for good. And I can follow him and see what he might do. Because our faith isn't cultivated in moments of comfort. We don't develop fighting fierce character in safety. In fact, just the opposite happens. It's in the scariest moments of our life where our faith gets the opportunity to just spread its wings a little. Say, let me show you what I can do. Let's see what could happen next if we go forward with God. It's not in the safety and the ease that we grow in our faith. It's not in the moments of as comfortable as we can be that we develop character and virtue and the values that we need to be awesome for good in this world. It is in the hardest moments of our life that we grow strong. It's in the scariest places that we develop the kind of faith that gives us the ability to struggle forward and strive for what next could be. And that's what Caleb did. When other people said no, Caleb's yes to God was so much louder than their fear that he said yes, and he kept going with God. And his vision for what God could do, what God had planned for next, was so much bigger than everybody else's fear that his faith overwhelmed even the naysayers. Even the people who said, we can't do it, we're not going, Caleb still said, yes, we are, we're going. And an entire generation of people got held back. But Caleb got to move forward. As one generation died out, another generation rose up. And when this other generation was ready to say yes to God and take this next step, it was about 45 years. Caleb was about 40 years old when they went and spied out that land, and he was about 85 years old when the second generation was finally ready to do what God had asked that first generation to do. So he's 85 years old, and this is what he says to his buddy Joshua, who's now leading God's people. He said, I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. He's 85 years old. And he's like, listen, I am as strong today as I was then. I am as willing to fight today as I was all of those years ago, and it just may be that the favor of God will be on us and we'll do this awesome thing that he promised. Isn't that cool? He's 85 years old and saying, I'm still in. I still have a fight to fight. He could have been like, I'm done. I'm tired. I was a champion when all those people were jerks. I want to go into this new place and build a house and relax. But he's like, no, like, I'm in. I'm fighting. Let's do this. Because if God is with us, there's nothing that he can't do. And he was not intimidated even after he waited for 45 years. Now, I've waited on God before, like, as patiently as I know how to wait. But I've never waited 45 years. Like, never have I had to put 45 years in to seeing what God could do. Caleb put 45 years of dog-hearted faith into what God was going to do. And what's even greater about this is the very land that those spies ran away from terrified, this is the land that Caleb says is mine. This is my land. Like, I've marked my X on that ground. Like, I'm fighting this fight. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how strong they are. I don't care how fortified they are. I'm God's guy, and we've got this. And if God is with us, what couldn't he do? And he goes back, and he charges the gates of the very scary, terrifying place that had young men running in their tracks. He went back and fought that fight.
And that land became his inheritance. That land became his family's inheritance, became his kids' inheritance, because he was not held back by fear, because he wasn't daunted by what seemed intimidating to other people, and he was able to move forward in faith with God. And that land became a story that his family got to pass down from generation to generation to generation. Like, imagine how cool that would be to tell your grandkids, right? Like, you'll never believe what grandpa did, right? Like, you'll never believe how we got to have this house here because grandpa, he's tough, right? That's an awesome story that they got to share in their family and that we get to look at thousands of years later and say, man, if God could show up in the life of a man like Caleb, what couldn't he do in our life? If God could show up and fight on the side of a guy like Caleb, what couldn't he do in our generation, right? Like in our neighborhoods, if God favored us and showed up here and did impossible things here, what couldn't God do if we just had the faith to try? If we just had the courage to say to God, I'm terrified, but yes, let's go. It's scary, but my eyes are so set on you that I want to go where you're going, even when I'm afraid. But to get there, we have to push past fear. To get where God is going and taking us and leading us, we have to push past the very scary things that want to hold us back. Because fear is a jerk. And it's mean, and it knows your heart, and it knows your worst fears, and it's going to prey on them and say all the mean things and put all these images in your head of all of these terrifying things that are going to happen. And when fear wins, fear says, you can't do this. Fear says, it's too hard. Of course not. Why would they even ask, right? Like, fear is the thing that says, go back, turn around, you're going to get hurt, somebody you love is going to die, you can't do this, give up. And fear robs us of these incredible opportunities, these incredible lives that we were designed to live because it's loud and it's mean and it locks us up tight in this prison of all of the scary things that could happen. And some of us have been looking at fear for so long, we forgot it doesn't have to be that way. We forgot that fear doesn't have to be the loudest voice in our heart. We forgot that fear doesn't have to be the thing that wakes us up every morning and reminds us of all of the things that could go wrong. That fear doesn't get the final say. That fear doesn't get to have a firm control on our life and tell us what to do. In fact, we get to tell fear what to do, right? And if I wasn't a good Christian woman, I'd tell you what fear could do in an inappropriate way, but I'm not going to. I want Chet to invite me back. And we've forgotten that God is the same God who's been doing impossible things for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. That the same spirit that gave Caleb the ability to champion God's cause is the same spirit that God has instilled in all of us. Not a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of strength and courage and boldness and might. That, friends, we serve a mighty God. He's good and he's faithful and he's strong. That Jesus Christ is powerful and there's nothing that he cannot do. Evil's not going to win. It can be mean and do hurtful and ugly things, but it is not going to win. Our mighty Savior will. And he invited us to be on his team. Like, it's not an option, like, the winning team or the losing team, right? Like, God invited us to be on the winning team if we can step through the things that we are afraid of. If we give faith the opportunity to be louder than our fear, because faith says, you know God. You know what he could do. That there's one fighting on your side who is not intimidated, who's not held back. Not even death itself could conquer Jesus Christ. And when he's in your life, he's greater than every single thing that feels scary or intimidated.
that there is one in us that's greater than every danger that exists in this world. And faith reminds us again and again and again, God is at work. That God won't fail you. God won't let you down. God won't quit on you. We might quit. We might take step backs, but God's never going to. God's always going to be there. And faith reminds us that God is greater, God is good, and God has an awesome work that he wants to accomplish in this world. And then we get to be part of it if we just let our faith be louder than our fear. Because faith also reminds us you might have quit, but it doesn't mean you have to stay there. It doesn't mean you can't take another step forward. Faith also reminds us you might have fallen down. It might have hurt, but get up. Wipe the dust off your hands and try again. Faith also reminds us that something scary might have happened, but by God, who knows what could happen next if you just wipe yourself off and jump right back in the game. Every time we are afraid, we put our eyes on Jesus Christ. It would be foolish to say, I'm never going to be afraid. I'm going to be afraid. I'm probably going to be afraid tomorrow, next month. Like, it's going to happen. But we get to control what our fear does. We get to say, I might be afraid, but fear doesn't have the final say in my life. My faith in Jesus Christ does. That fear doesn't get to have control of who I'm going to be. My faith in Jesus Christ compels me to move forward with him. And every time we choose faith over fear, I mean, just a step forward, just one small step forward, we grow a little bit more. Every time we silence the voice of fear and give space for Christ to speak over top of it, our souls thrive just a little bit more. I love what Eleanor Roosevelt said. She said, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You're able to say to yourself, I lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along." Isn't that powerful? Like, just imagine if we re-examined our lives for a second, and instead of looking through the lens of fear about the things that have happened and the painful things we've experienced and the damaging things that have happened in our life, we change that lens and say, I survived that. We got through that. What couldn't God do next? I might have got bumped up along the way, but we stand here right now. We got through it. God brought us through to the other side. If we survived that, what couldn't we survive? What couldn't we do if we just kept going forward with God? But to get there, we have to push past our fear. And we have to lean on Jesus Christ one more time and give our faith in him one more opportunity to grow. When he was a little boy, about 8 years old, Lex Gillette started to lose his vision. Doctors worked really, really hard. They did like surgery 10 different times. They weren't able to save it, and he eventually lost all of his sight and went completely blind. He said, "At that age, the first thing that went through my mind was not being able to play video games and not being able to play outside with my friends, not riding a bike, then not seeing my family, my mom, her facial expressions, her smile. So that was a really difficult moment for me. But with his mom's help, he started trying again. And he got the courage to go outside again, and he got the courage to go play with his friends again, and he eventually went back to school and started trying different things, and he learned balance and awareness and how to approach the world differently. In high school, he started competing in track and field. And at the age of 17, he won his first gold medal in the long jump. And 2 years later, he started competing in the Paralympic Games in Athens. And he's medaled in like every one since then. Completely blind. Can't see anything. I don't know if you've ever watched the long jump before, but here's the long jump. You run 80 feet as fast and as hard as you can go. You get to the edge and you jump as hard and as far as you can go into the sand pit and hope that you land and get as far as you want.
but he can't see anything, so he's literally jumping blind to get into this place that he wants to go. So here's how he does it. He has a guide that he trained with. His name is Wesley. And when they started running and training together, Wesley would run out ahead of Lex and kind of nudge him with his elbows and help him get direction and what was coming and where the curves were going to be. And for the long jump, what happens is Wesley lines Lex up. He squares his shoulders so he's pointed in the right direction, points his toes towards the jumping line, and then he runs down the 80 feet and he stands at the edge of the sand pit and he claps his hands really, really loud and he screams, "Fly, fly, fly, fly." And Lex does. He hears his friend's voice and he runs as hard, as fast as he can till he hears his friend's voice stop and then he jumps. He's missed. To be clear, he's literally missed before, gotten up, wiped off the blood, and tried again. But what's crazy to me about this is, one, that he tried again, because like I'd hit the concrete and be like, all right, that's good. I'm good, I'm solid, I tried. But he can't see anything and so trusts the sound of his friend's voice that he runs as hard as he can to get there and literally has the courage to fly. He set new records for like 22 feet that he jumps in this long jump. And this is so courage to me. This is the image I have in my mind. Courage is hearing the voice of Jesus Christ and running as hard and as fast as we can to get to him. It's not being stopped by fear of the unknown. It's not being stopped by the fear of everything that could go wrong and all of the dangerous things that could be, but it is running valiantly forward as hard and as fast as we can go because we hear the voice of our mighty God calling us and we're following him. So I wonder if we just were able to switch our perspectives a little bit, just gave them a little bit of a turn, just a little tweak, and instead of doing life by running away from all of the things that we are afraid of, what if we just started running to Christ instead? Instead of letting the things that we fear control our direction, what if just instead we ran towards the voice of Jesus Christ? Because friends, this is our life right now. Like not who we're going to be or what's going to happen. All of those things are wonderful, but right now is our life. It's our moment to live the very best life that we very possibly can live with God. And what are we waiting for? What are we holding on to our courage? What are we storing up our faith for, if not for moments just like these today? Because right on the other side of fear lives the very best life that you were created for. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for us today. I pray for every single heart, Father, in this room that we would hear the cry of your voice. That you would reach into our souls, Father, and give us more courage and more faith, more strength than we've ever had before. I pray, Father, where we've let fear win, you would give us the courage to try again. I pray, Father, where the voice of fear has been loud and mean, you would overwhelm that voice with yours. That, Father, our hearts would be directed towards you. That we would be champions for what is good and right and noble in this world. I pray, Father, that this corner here, this community, this neighborhood, this campus would be touched by a mighty, fierce spirit, Father, to go out and be awesome for good in this world. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.